Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
The show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Osama bin Laden's former driver has already been in custody for 5 years and a month, so Salim Hamdan could be out of Guantanamo in just 5 months' time with credit for time served. Reaction from retired New York fireman Jim Riches, who lost his son Jimmy Jr. on 9/11.
I feel horrible. I mean, my son was 29 years old. He's dead. He's never going to get back in the door. And in my opinion, he got away with murder. And he should have got a life sentence, and I think it's disgusting.
The next war crimes tribunal is expected to put Khalid Sheikh Mohammed on trial for planning the 9/11 attacks. Opening Olympics ceremonies in Beijing, just hours away now.
It should be a spectacular opening ceremony. Lots of pomp and tradition. There will be dancers and musicians, even some people seemingly flying through the air. China's President Hu Jintao will officially open the Beijing Games. The biggest question remains, who will get the honor of lighting the Olympic flame inside the stadium? Steve Futterman, CBS News, Beijing.
The brief flap over the White House press plane at the airport in Beijing has been worked out about half an hour ago. CBS's Mark Knoller among those now free to move about.
Well, it's not unprecedented, but it certainly is very unusual. Certainly, China knows the world is watching by putting members of the press, the White House press, through this. They don't establish the kind of friendly greeting that might have been expected.
It followed President Bush's criticism of their human rights record. Was there a connection? Who can say for sure? Is the real estate crunch ending? It may be too soon to say that, but the June pending home sales figures up 5% across the nation were a good sign.
It appears that house prices in some parts of the country have fallen sufficiently that they're actually now starting to attract buyers in.
That's Nigel Gault at Global Insight. Firefighters have reached the wreckage of a helicopter in which 9 fellow firefighters died near the Shasta National Forest fire in California.
Firefighting is a dangerous but very noble profession. These brave individuals risk their lives to protect all of us.
Sharon Haywood at the U.S. Forest Service. A Suburban loaded with illegal immigrants rolled on a highway in Arizona. None of the 19 people crammed inside could get out of the wreckage on their own. 9 are dead. The other 10 were all injured. All of the victims were adults. A federal judge has ruled Uncle Sam owes American Indians for swindling them out of oil, gas, grazing, timber, and other royalties in treaties dating back to 1887. Judge A. James Robertson is awarding the Native Americans $455 million, a far cry from the $47 billion they had wanted. How and to whom the money is to be distributed is still to be worked out. On Wall Street today, the Dow fell 224 points. The Nasdaq was off nearly 23, and oil prices bumped up again and hit $120 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Antifreeze. It should really be called anti-stuck by the side of the road. Look, just because your car is running fine today doesn't mean it won't decide to overheat while you're driving home tomorrow because your radiator's decided that it's had enough of that watered-down weak coolant. Well, the guys at Advance know this. That's why they have Advance Auto Parts 50-50 antifreeze on sale for $6.98 a gallon. Offer ends August 30th. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
It isn't just rich white folks who adopt children anymore. It's a new federal survey.
There's been a stereotype about adoption being the childless white couple who seek to adopt internationally.
But in fact, minority women adopt at a higher rate than white women, and men adopt at twice the rate of women. Joe Jones of the CDC is author of the survey.
When we found out that there were more men than women who were adopting and that people of all races were adopting, it was a little surprising.
This is one of the first times they've questioned men for a survey like this. Most of their adoptions involve their stepchildren. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
A Mexican woman riding a donkey near Acapulco with her 7-year-old niece says a 500-pound lion came roaring out of the bushes, went after the donkey, but she figured she and her little niece might be next, so she went after the lion with a machete. She got in a few good shots, the lion roared, and left them alone. That animal was an escapee from a private zoo. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, all the way from Big Sur in California to Seattle. Coming up shortly, Faz Shakir will join us from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Progress Report. Lots to talk about. Later this hour, Peacenik Joe Cirincione. He's president of the Plowshares Fund. We're going to talk about a number of issues. He is now ready, based on the Susskind book, to say that George W. Bush lied us into Iraq. Scott Dick will be along in an hour to talk military and veterans issues. And as we lead off the free speech zone, we'll talk about the new support for impeachment in Pakistan. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join us at any moment, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. And before we talk to Faz Shakir, we're going to attempt over the next week or two to have a daily update from the Free Gaza crew that has some ships that are currently underway toward Gaza. They are in Greek waters right now, and Dr. Paul Larudi from FreeGaza.org joins us right now. Paul, how are you?
I'm pleased to be with you. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, and we're in a Greek port, in fact. You can hear the music in the background from all the tourist spots that are all there. But
Opa!
We're on our way.
And you will be sailing for Crete in a couple of days, and then you will depart from there to go to Gaza. And you are attempting to test the Israeli blockade and see if you will be permitted to land these two ships and crew members in Gaza.
That's correct.
And have you gotten any advance notice from, say, Israel saying, gosh, we're going to be monitoring your progress as you cross the Mediterranean?
Well, there have been a couple of reports. As you can imagine, reporters will go to Israel and ask them for their reaction. And we read the same papers as other people. And there have been mixed statements from Israel. In some cases, they say that we're trying to be provocative and they don't want to give us the opportunity, and therefore they're just going to let us in without much fanfare, mm-hmm. so that it won't be much of a news event. That would be wonderful. That would be actually be our favorite solution.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they've also told some of the Hebrew press that they, in fact, will not, under any circumstances, allow us to land in Gaza. I mm-hmm. kind of tend to favor the second one as the most likely of the two, but who knows?
Now, your naval flotilla is unarmed. You come in a peaceful mission, and your attempt is to simply visit those who are blockaded into Gaza under the Israeli occupation.
That's correct. We're going by a different route because doing that means that we don't have to go through Israel or Egypt. We're going through international waters, and even Israel doesn't, they claim that they don't occupy Gaza. So, you know, what objections could they possibly have?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what we're testing. And we're thinking that, you know, if the citizens of Gaza were able to live a more normal life and to trade and travel more normally, then the pressure would not be as great, and they would have more vested interest in, and so would Israel, in finding a way to live peacefully in an environment where everyone's human rights are respected.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I think you know that I fully support this effort. I wish I could be there with you because I'm a sailor, and if only for the...
Well, how much money have you sent us?
I'll have to double check.
Seriously, our bank account is down to less than $6,000, which might be enough.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to make a pitch and say we need help. So go to our website, freegaza.org.
Right, and there's also a link there to get boat updates and lots of information about this effort. And, Paul, we'll check in with you again tomorrow.
Be my guest.
All right, that's Dr. Paul Arruti. Thank you for staying up late there. He's sailing in Greek waters, bound first for Crete and Cyprus and then across the Mediterranean to challenge the Israeli blockade of Gaza. This could be very, very interesting. Faz Shakir joins me now. He is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and research director at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Faz, how are you doing today?
Doing fine. How are you doing, Peter?
Is this the first you've heard of the Free Gaza Flotilla?
Indeed it is. You always educate me, Peter.
Well, feel free to put it up on the blog or cover.
Sure.
It's going to be interesting, I think, over the next few days. And as you heard Dr. Larruti, he's hoping that Israel will not offer any confrontation or provocation when they come ashore in Gaza. But there are no guarantees, so we'll be watching this one very carefully. Faz, I wanted to start off with Wednesday's progress report about the fallout from Susskind's new book and the revelations here. And these are really fascinating because while many people are focusing on this allegation that the White House ordered the CIA to forge a document concocting a connection between Saddam and 9/11 and falsely stating that Mohammed Atta had been in Iraq shortly before the 9/11 attacks, what I think is really interesting is that this fellow Habush, who was Saddam's intelligence director, along the way told us, by the way, we don't got no WMD. And that to me, while the forgery thing is certainly an attention grabber, the real issue here is that once again we have further corroboration that Bush and Cheney knew that Saddam did not have serious weapons.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, those are startling revelations. Of course, we knew a lot of this before. I remember the administration liked to pump up right before the war that they were talking to Iraqis, that they had good connections and that things were going to go well because we had already established good contact with senior members of Saddam's regime, and they were going to basically lay down their arms, and it was going to be a cakewalk into Baghdad. Those were some of the rumors that were floating out before the war. Well, it is nice to know that we did certainly have some contacts with Iraqi leaders, and they were telling us that there was no WMD, according to the director of its intelligence. Another interesting part of the story is that after the war, the administration was so concerned that Habush was going to come out and talk, just as Joseph Wilson did, that they paid him $5 million in hush money to basically go and sit still and be quiet.
Well, and that's another important charge from Ron Suskind, because he refers to that explicitly as hush money. And on a television interview the other night, he said, I don't know any other way to describe it. $5 million and he's been silent. That sounds like hush money to me.
Right. So they paid him off $5 million, and then they were wondering, who the White House was, Dick Cheney and company, were wondering, what do we do with this guy? We've paid him $5 million. Is there any value he can add to us? And that's where the forgery seems to come into play, that in late 2003, they say, well, you know, this guy, maybe he could help us out in some ways. Maybe we'll ask him to justify our Iraq 9/11 connection, and we'll forge this letter, and he'll just sign on to it. And so that seems to be what we got for paying them off.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, another report of White House duplicity is surfacing from the anthrax investigation, and that is an assertion that in October of 2001, I believe the date I've seen is October 5, that the head of the FBI, Mueller, was there at the White House for a briefing, and the president chewed him out, ripped him a new one. And apparently was challenging him to prove that the anthrax attacks could be connected to Al-Qaeda. And this suggests even more, fast and loose with the truth by the White House. And if you go a little deeper, you say, well, gosh, if they were going to shift the blame to somebody else, there's a good chance they knew who's actually responsible, because otherwise it could blow up in their faces.
Well, it fits with the mentality of the Bush administration, right, that you organize yourself around the theory, and even when the facts don't fit the theory, you operate off the theory.
Mm-hmm.
And so after, of course, 9/11, you had some of these letters floating around about anthrax that had some Muslim connotations in it. You know, there was some a blasting of Israel and praising of Allah, and so it certainly led the reader to believe that there was a Muslim connection. That was all that the administration needed. They just were pressing Robert Mueller, the FBI director, to give them that information so they could make it official, and Mueller refused to do so for good reasons, as it turns out, but they were pushing on him hard. And then, another interesting bit of the story is that the administration was pushing so hard to connect Iraq to 9/11 around this time, shortly after 9/11. Dick Cheney was doing it. President Bush was doing it. John McCain was doing it. He went on the Letterman show shortly after 9/11 and said, "There may be a connection between these anthrax attacks in Iraq." And of course, that kind of formed the basis for how a lot of the public viewed Iraq. I mean, they were establishing early narratives about the connections between 9/11 and Iraq.
Yeah, very interesting. Anything else that's coming out of the Suskind book that you want to mention here, Faz?
Well, you know, an interesting bit that just came out recently is from American Conservative. You know, there's been this pushback from the CIA that their guys didn't forge the letter, right? You've been following this.
Well, we heard the carefully crafted denials, which said that nobody in my chain of command asked me to forge a letter.
Right.
And that obviously is, well, David Addington did it. He's not in your chain of command.
Well, that's the interesting part here, is that the American Conservative is reporting that it was Doug Feith's office.
Ah.
That actually forged the letter. And there were some sources within the CIA who are saying that actually, you know, a lot of the details that Suskind's got are right, but it wasn't the CIA, it was Doug Feith.
Very interesting.
Which would be very interesting. And, of course, not too surprising.
Well, and I don't know if you can be a professor at Georgetown if you acknowledge a forgery. Well, we'll just have to let the Jesuits handle that one. We'll continue in a moment with Faz Shakir and talk about today's lead story in the Progress Report, a new study by the Center for American Progress about Bushonomics. Oh, and Faz, before we run to the break here, are there any Republican Congress members banging on the door there, just dying to get back to work so they can do some drilling legislation?
They got their protest still going. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to check on that. More in a moment with Faz Shakir. You want to call in? I want you to call 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Ride the wave for the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be bringing you live coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Denver, the final week of the month. And if you'd like, you can help. There's a link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. That's right, listeners are helping underwrite the cost of our coverage, and I really appreciate it. The latest contributor is Robert from Eureka. Thank you, Robert. And any amount will help. Just log on to peterbcollins.com. The link there, you can help. And I much appreciate any assistance you can offer. And, Faz, will you be at the convention?
Just going to ask you, I couldn't hear it through the music. Are you going to be there?
Yes, we will be there.
Okay, so you're playing and you're raising some funds to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, we are intending to send somebody from Think Progress, maybe Amanda or one of the other members of my team who goes, mm-hmm. and I'll be manning the desk from here.
Okay, great. Well,
but we're also trying to get to the RNC convention, by the way. So if you're looking for somebody to report from the ground, we'll have somebody out there to do that.
That's great because, you know, the tax cuts didn't trickle down to me enough to even, you know, we're struggling to cover the Democrats, and for me, the Republicans was just too much. But if Amanda or any other rep is there, make sure that they know to see us at Radio Row, because we don't know about all the security rules and what kind of credentials we have. And I know we'll be in Radio Row. I'm not sure we'll be able to, circulate through the entire convention. They have told us there'll be limits on our ability to go to the floor. So have them, her or whoever it is, look us up there.
Sure.
So the Center for American Progress did a major study of Bushonomics. And it's not that this is gratuitous in any way, Faz, but I think everybody feels what's wrong with our economy. What is hard to take is when you hear John McCain embracing the bromides of the Bush administration that brought our economy to its knees.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you'd like to say that the past few years have taught us certain lessons that we won't repeat, but if you look at the McCain agenda, it is, in essence, repeating exactly the same things. You see the household incomes are down. You see corporate profits are up. You see the richest 1% getting the greatest benefit from economic growth. So we need to turn the tide here. We need to make sure that the benefits of an economic expansion trickle down to the workers,
mm-hmm.
people who are actually making our economy run, and that's not been happening. And so you look at the McCain agenda, he's doing exactly what Bush is doing. His tax cuts for corporations and the richest Americans are even more than President Bush's. The deficit that would increase under McCain would be even greater than under President Bush, and the burden that middle-class families would feel under him would be even greater.
And, you know, I think Obama has tried to put a brake on some of the pandering. And recently I feel that those brakes have been off as he talked about, he changed his position on pulling oil out of the strategic reserves. I do support his call for a $1,000 check for American families to help cover the high cost of gasoline and heating fuel. And I have no problem if that comes out of the profits of the oil companies. But it really strikes me that we have taken all of the air out of the economy. There is no elasticity. And the Fed is struggling here because of the risk of inflation from high fuel costs and the ripple effect on every other product. That we have very little wiggle room and very little opportunity to try to stimulate the economy out of a recession without bringing inflation in a very dangerous way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Inflation is a serious problem right now. If you look at the last month, for instance, inflation outstripped wage growth, which means to most ordinary working Americans, they're losing money. And if you look at the consumer prices over the last month, they increased 5%. So you look at all of the metrics across the board, and Americans are hurting and their wages aren't keeping pace, and inflation is going to be an increasingly difficult problem. I think under normal circumstances, the Fed would have increased interest rates, but the fact that they didn't do so yesterday is an indication that they also feel the economy is weak.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if the economy were stronger, they would be increasing interest rates. And probably, you know, I'm not as much a Fed expert as many others are, but it sounds like it's probably a reasonable thing to do, is particularly when you have concerns over inflation.
Well, and in the housing market, the mortgage area, that is not behind us. I don't think we've hit bottom yet. And who was it? The head of Freddie Mac was reporting the losses and saying, we really can't predict when things are going to start to tick up again.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a continuing problem. You see the credit crisis, which is a major problem. People don't have access to credit. They can't get home equity loans anymore to the extent that they would want to, because they're so burdened by credit to begin with. But many access to, particularly for people going to school now, the access to credit is even being stripped for people who are trying to get student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many metrics across the board where you just look at ordinary middle-class families are just hurting. And as you said, the levers with which you can pull to try to do some things here are so weak right now. You factor in the deficit, right, which should be a concern, and deficit spending. We got to find ways to increase revenue to do some of these things. And as you said, going after some of the oil profits is a good start. Reining back the Bush tax cuts is another good start. Hopefully we can do some of these things.
All right, Faz, thank you very much. Always great to talk with you, and I appreciate your work. People can get their own copy of the Progress Report. Just log on to progressreport.org. Take it easy, Faz. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Peter.
We'll take a break and return. Joe Cirincione will join me next from the Plowshares Fund for Peace.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized expertise of Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. At the hospital's intensive care units, the care you get is, well, intensive. There are people watching you closely every minute, making sure you're okay, checking on you, talking to you and about you, dealing with you, helping you, poking and prodding you. Meanwhile, what you want to do is get some sleep. Sweet, deep, restorative sleep. As Shakespeare put it, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. But do you get any in intensive care? Fat chance. And a study confirms that. We'll tell you about it after this.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
You have better things to think about than car insurance. You know, like where your four-year-old hid your cell phone, or why your dog doesn't appreciate everything you do for him. Yeah, you've got a lot to think about. So GEICO invented GEICO.com. It makes doing everything from updating your policy to reporting a claim fast, easy, a no-brainer. Hey, with all you've got on the brain, it's the least we could do.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Last week on the Olympus U.S. Open Series, the greatest road trip in sports, Andy Murray beat Novak Djokovic to win the Western and Southern Financial Group Masters, while Dinara Safina won the Rogers Cup and clinched the Olympus U.S. Open Series women's title. This week, the men will compete at the Countrywide Classic in Los Angeles. Tune in for semifinals action Saturday at 10:30 p.m. and Sunday at 5 p.m. all on ESPN2. For complete TV listings, go to OlympusUSOpenSeries.com.
The study of sleep deprivation for patients in intensive care was led by Dr. Randall Fries at the University of Texas Southwestern. He writes that current clinical care protocols routinely and severely deprive critically ill patients of sleep at a time when the need for adequate rest is perhaps most essential. Nurses, doctors, and technicians argue that schedules require regular checks on patients even in the middle of the night. It's their schedules, their shifts, their responsibilities, and their workload that determines this. Meanwhile, the patient isn't getting what he may need the most. Dr. Free says ICU patients may look like they're sleeping, but they're not sleeping well, and it seems they never get to the deep rapid eye movement restorative stage. He and his colleagues in the study examined the brainwave patterns of 16 patients who had suffered traumatic injuries or had abdominal surgery and found their sleep was fragmented and superficial. ICU units are too busy, too noisy, too disruptive. For sleep, they are too interruptive. What's needed is some peace and quiet. I wonder if they'll ever try it. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we're going to talk about the worldwide struggle for peace. Joe Cirincione returns to our program. He's now president of the Plowshares Fund for Peace in San Francisco. Prior to that, Joe was a vice president and a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And before that, he was at the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. Joe, welcome back to our program today.
Hello, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there's a number of things that I want to talk with you about, and I'm glad that you're available to chat with us. First up, I wanted to mention, on the heels of a recent conversation, you were kind enough to send me an email regarding the risks of adding more American troops in Afghanistan. And the context was that Barack Obama has proposed about 10,000, two additional brigades, and John McCain suggests three, not necessarily all Americans. In the case of McCain, he talks loosely about a multinational addition to the contingent there in Afghanistan. And today, to its credit, the New York Times published a picture of every service member who's died in Afghanistan. The number now reaches 500. And I wanted to get your thoughts because I feel that there's been too little discussion about what the true mission is and about the risks of attempting to expand an occupation of Afghanistan, a country that historically is impervious to outside control.
Well, the last time we talked, I expressed my support for sending more troops to Afghanistan, and I've held that view for over 2 years, that we were in risk of losing a war that we should win and of having a government that does have popular support, the Karzai government, toppled by an extremist Taliban element allied with Al-Qaeda. You would said that you were dubious that extra troops could help, the 20,000 that I favor or the 10,000 that Barack Obama favors. And I was struck by a column, which is what I sent you in Newsweek of this week, mm-hmm. by Morton Abramowitz, the former president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a former assistant secretary of state. And he was sending a very clear warning that it was that he didn't think any extra troops would matter, reminding us that there were 100,000 Soviet troops in Afghanistan, and they were routed, albeit that was more of a popular insurgency than what we're seeing with the Taliban. But his point, and it's really affected my thinking on this, is that what's needed is to improve the economic and social conditions of the Afghan people, and to be improving the situation in Pakistan economically and politically, not by seeking more of a military solution in that area. I now find myself sort of maybe halfway in between where you are, perhaps, Peter, and where I was, realizing, persuaded by Abramowitz's analysis, that we really, if whatever troop deployments we put in, there has to be a much, bigger, I guess, economic and political offensive in those two countries in order to have any chance of defeating the Taliban.
Well, and I'd modify the comment that Obama has made that we have to get out of Iraq carefully because we weren't very careful about getting in. He has a more artful way of saying it. And I feel the same way. I'm not, just flatly opposed to beefing up our presence in Afghanistan. I just think it needs to be done smartly. And we need to recognize, just like Iraq, that there is not a military solution here long term. And yes, we need to deal with the Taliban. Yes, we need to deal with Al-Qaeda. But that's a very dicey issue that involves Pakistan as well. And that's a country we've seen is struggling. A little bit later on in the program today, we're going to talk about the impeachment move in Pakistan.
Yeah.
I don't know how far it can get. But it is interesting that both Sharif and Zardari, the widower of Bhutto, are calling for this because, they can't agree on Supreme Court justices or even the time of day in many cases. So I think that we have our hands full, and my concern is that Americans aren't looking critically at the situation in Afghanistan and really what it would take. I simply believe that it has to be much more than some sort of a military buildup.
And Morton Abramowitz's point, and this is well taken, is that the main problem is really not the Taliban. The main problem is Pakistan. And that this is this border region nominally ruled by the government in Islamabad that's become a Taliban safe haven with all the weapons and drug smuggling and Al-Qaeda fighters crossing the borders with an impunity. And that the key to solving Afghanistan is Pakistan. I've always felt that the two had to be treated together, but it's really his article and his emphasis that's convinced me that the greater emphasis here has to be placed on dealing with Pakistan, not in trying to defeat the Taliban, primarily militarily inside Afghanistan.
So the new Pakistani prime minister came to Washington, and almost during his visit to the White House, there was one of our unilateral assaults, I think using a Predator drone, one of these remote areas in Pakistan. And I have to say I have mixed feelings, Joe, because, you know, I really feel that it's in America's interest to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and the other top dogs of al-Qaeda, whoever they may be and wherever they may be. At the same time, I realize how risky it is to intervene in this manner in Pakistan because things are so delicate there. And the guy that we've backed is, I think the wrong guy, but that's the bet that Bush made. And so my concern is that we could really bungle this and have a real hot war break out in Pakistan with the military leaders who are very much aligned with the Taliban and Taliban-like elements in the Islamic world.
Well, I do think there's a role and for selective targeting of al-Qaeda and Taliban leadership, including through the use of Predator drones, in the Pakistan regions or in Afghanistan. But, you know, there is, particularly in terrains like this, there tends to be an over-reliance on airstrikes as a means of countering the enemy. And what we've seen in just the last couple of months is some very high-profile, you might call them friendly fire incidents, where the U.S. has killed dozens of innocent Afghan civilians, including 42 members of a wedding procession.
Well, we seem to have
almost everyone except the U.S. military now agrees that we're not a terrorist group or associated with the Taliban or al-Qaeda in any way. And these kinds of attacks, these kinds of mistakes, really have the potential for turning more and more Afghan people against us, particularly as what you know, because the tribal elements of Pakistan, when you strike at individuals like this, it's not just a family who feels the pain. It's a tribe. It's a whole ethnic current that feels that they've been wrong, that they've been struck. It's a very dangerous game we're playing there with these airstrikes against these targets.
We have had a tragic and uncanny knack for attacking these wedding parties. I mean, there it appears like half a dozen in the past year in Afghanistan alone. And I agree with you. That fallout, it led to this attack on a forward base there along the Pakistan border recently, where American troops were outnumbered, and we eventually, within a week, we gave up that base and just retreated. And so these kinds of incidents really galvanize the citizens and force them into the arms of our enemies, and they unite against us. And that's a picture that can spiral out of control rather quickly.
I agree.
Now, Joe, the other issue in Afghanistan is poppies and opium. And this is an issue where if we were willing to, spread around, a few million dollars, I don't think it even takes, huge bundles of money. But if we could be putting people to work, growing different crops or in different forms of employment, we could be helping dent that. But we know that the poppy opium production has increased above 2,000 levels, and that it's believed that some of this money is funding Al-Qaeda.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it that they're making a killing in the drug trade that's been going on, and all our efforts to suppress that have backfired, including our preferred tactic, which is to eliminate these fields through eradication efforts. It simply hasn't worked. As you just stated, Afghanistan is now the major source for heroin in the world. And this, by the way, is something where there's a potential for finding common cause with Iran, which has a serious drug problem in the country caused by the heroin that's being smuggled in from Afghanistan. And Iran actually has an active shooting war on the border with Iran and Afghanistan, fighting these drug smugglers who were coming over. And dozens of Iranian soldiers have been killed in these efforts. And these smugglers are, of course, aided by the Taliban. So there's a potential there for the U.S., despite all the other differences we have with Iran, to find an alliance that we could have against the drug smuggling operations.
Mm-hmm. Joe Cirincione is with us. He's now president of the Plowshares Fund, and they're on the web at plowshares.org, P-L-O-U-G-H-S-H-A-R-E-S, plowshares.org. Joe, we're going to take a break in a minute, and then I want to come back and talk about your reaction to Ron Suskind's book and the pre-war intelligence and manipulation thereof. But I wanted to get a quick comment from you. We led the show today with a phone call to an undisclosed location in Greece. And there are two sailboats of people from the Free Gaza movement. And they're setting sail from Cyprus in a few days to Gaza across the Mediterranean. And they're planning to essentially try to challenge the Israeli blockade. And I just wanted you to be aware of it because it hasn't gotten a lot of media attention. And we're in touch with the people on the ships. And I think it's going to be very interesting. They are hopeful that there won't be a confrontation with Israeli authorities when they attempt to come ashore. And they're hoping to establish what Israel says, which is that they don't have a blockade of Gaza. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I wish them well. I wish them safe passage. There's got to be a resolution of this. I think it's in Israel's interest to loosen the restrictions, whatever you want to call it, a blockade, security net around Gaza, to let needed materials get into the civilians who are suffering so badly there. You know, we've made a lot of progress just in the last few weeks with a reduction in rocket attacks, a reduction in the kinds of hostilities. I think it would be in Israel's interest to show that a reduction in these kinds of direct attacks lead to an increase in civilian trade across Gaza's border.
And if you want to get more information, freegaza.org is the website, and they have information there regarding this journey, and they'll be updating it on a regular basis, so you can check in there as you wish. That's freegaza.org. We're going to take a break and return with Joe Cirincione and talk about the pre-war information. Did Bush lie? That's what we'll discuss next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Somehow my music just went away. We're going to have to sue the Art of Noise. We'll be right back here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. Free shipping and a free bottle with your first order. Just go to ecowine.com/Peter B. We continue now with Joe Cirincione. He's president of the Plowshares Fund, and he's author of the book called Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. And, Joe, I want to take us back to the fall of 2002, the winter, leading up to our unilateral invasion of Iraq, the so-called shock and awe campaign. This is 28 seconds long, and it's a compilation of comments from Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, and Powell. And I'd just like you to hear this before we talk about Ron Suskind's book.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally true.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
Now, you hear the fear that is infused in all of those comments. And, Joe, from Ron Suskind's book, we now have further corroboration that these officials either knew or should have known that their statements were false. And we now have from Suskind the corroboration from Habush, who was the intelligence chief for Saddam Hussein, that he communicated to American officials during that time period, hey, Bupkis, we've got nothing. But it didn't fit the policy that, according to the Downing Street memos, intelligence was being fixed around.
Well, I was deeply involved in efforts to promote an alternative to war. I thought that there was some grounds to believe that Saddam might have some chemical or biological weapons. I didn't think there was any compelling evidence that he had a nuclear program, which was the main justification for the war. You remember that we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud, and the idea that he could soon have a nuclear weapon that he could give to al-Qaeda. This whole fear scenario that was whipped up. We failed, obviously, in that effort. And about a year after the invasion, I published with the Carnegie Endowment, the President Jessica Matthews and Vice President George Perkovich, a study called WMD in Iraq. And we put together all the evidence that was then available. And it was clear to us, and this is what we concluded, that administration officials systematically misled the American public in the run-up to the war, going far beyond what even the bad intelligence had said, intentionally exaggerating the threats, removing the caveats from the intelligence, making the threat appear more imminent and certain than it was. But we had a long talk internally about whether we could use the word lie, about whether the officials were actually lying to us, and we concluded that we could not because we didn't know whether senior officials, including the president, knew that there weren't weapons there or what their intention was. I think that the importance of the research that's come out now with Ron Susskind's book and others that are surfacing now are to clarify that the administration almost certainly knew that there weren't weapons there, certainly that there weren't nuclear weapons there, and that they were being told this by senior Iraqi officials who had turned, who were giving them information secretly, including the head of Iraqi intelligence, and this by previous reports we know also by the foreign minister, who was telling Bush officials that there were no programs, there were no weapons, what we now know to be absolutely true. So I think at this point it's pretty clear, many people have been saying this, and maybe you have, that the administration lied to us, lied to us, that it was a large, carefully constructed lie in order to get us to do what Americans are loath to do, enter into a war absent an attack on this country.
I've been using that four-letter word that starts with L for a couple of years now, Joe, just because I really felt that the evidence was clear. My basic source was Scott Ritter, who persuaded me that if they did have chemical stockpiles, that the shelf life had expired and that they were not toxic or dangerous. And so, as we see this taking shape and the routine denials being issued, when do we finally reach a point where the public understands that we were buffaloed into this and we were sold it by our own leadership?
Well, this is a very interesting point. Now, the public has long ago decided the war was not worth it. So you see in polls, 64%, 70% of the public now believe and have believed for over a year and a half that the war was a mistake, that we shouldn't have gotten in, and equally large majorities are in favor of leaving Iraq. So that's been decided. But I still don't think that the American public has grasped the level of deception that went on to get us into this war. And it's not true, as many of the comments on Susskind's book have said, that this has all been investigated thoroughly and exhaustively. We still have not had a serious investigation of the White House and the Department of Defense's role in manipulating the intelligence on Iraq. And let me just give you one example that's just surfaced today. In Ron Susskind's book, one of the most explosive charges he makes is that the CIA forged a letter from Mr. Habush that then surfaced, that was then given to reporters in December 2003, that said that al-Qaeda was cooperating with Saddam Hussein, that Mr. Atta had actually been, Muhammad Atta, the famous Muhammad Atta, had actually trained in Iraq. None of this is true. And just to put icing on the cake, that Iraq was, in fact, importing uranium yellow cake from Niger. Again, something we know not to be true. Susskind says the CIA forged this and that George Tenet was behind it. George Tenet, the former director of the CIA, has vehemently denied it. There's a new report today that says in the American Conservative magazine that it wasn't Tenet. It was Douglas Feith's Office of Special Plans, this rogue, pseudo-intelligence operation that was set up in the Department of Defense that did the forgery. And this has now been posted just very recently in the last few minutes up at the Think Progress website the blog that's run by the Center for American Progress. This is something that has to be investigated,
right.
has to be run to ground. Doug Feith's entire rogue intelligence operation. And if this is true, this unbelievable insult and deception placed upon the American people.
Thank you very much, Joe Cirincione.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Light sentence for Osama bin Laden's driver.
The jury has clearly accepted the fact that he was a minor player.
Detroit's mayor goes to jail.
I did violate the conditions of the bond.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Salim Hamdan, the Yemeni man who once served as Osama bin Laden's driver, could be free in 5 months. He's been sentenced to 5.5 years by the U.S. military jury that convicted him of supporting terrorism. With time already served at Guantanamo Bay, Hamdan could be out before President Bush leaves office. CBS News foreign affairs consultant Pamela Falk followed the trial.
What Salim Hamdan said in court very respectfully and at times in tears was that he was a driver, he was salaried, yes, he had joined al-Qaeda, but that he was not aware of the bigger conspiracy of attacks against the United States.
Hamdan apologized for the loss of life on 9/11, but for Jim Riches, a retired New York deputy fire chief whose firefighter son Jimmy died in the collapse of the Twin Towers, a sorry is not enough.
My son is never going to walk back in the door. He's responsible for aggression against the United States, and I think it's absurd, that sentencing, and I think it's a disservice to all the people that died on 9/11.
Now this.
Hi, we're Shadazy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime, because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Things have gone from bad to worse for Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Indicted for allegedly lying under oath about an affair with his chief of staff, the mayor has been free on $75,000 bond. But last month, Kilpatrick slipped over the border to Windsor, Canada, without notifying authorities. He says he was on city business.
I went over for a couple of hours. The office that I went to is, and I know this is not important, it's about 50 to 100 feet from the tunnel. I ran in, I made a presentation, and I ran back.
A violation nonetheless, says Judge Ronald Giles.
If it was not Kwame Kilpatrick sitting in that seat, if it was John Sixpack sitting in that seat, what would I do? And that answer is simple.
He ordered Kilpatrick to jail. In the streets of Detroit, WWJ Radio sampled reaction.
I'm very sorry to hear about that. What me and my wife is doing, we're praying for the mayor.
I think it's great. I think it's about time something finally happens with him.
He got all those attorneys. What's he paying them for?
Home prices are down and bargain hunters are on the prowl.
Where the prices have gone down 20-30%, buyers are taking advantage of the lower prices and they are entering the market. Markets like California, Florida, Las Vegas, we are seeing improving pending home sales activity.
Lawrence Young, chief economist at the National Association of Realtors, says pending sales of existing homes rose 5.3% in June. Jobs keep disappearing. The Labor Department says new claims for unemployment benefits have hit a six-year high. President Bush has arrived in Beijing for the opening of the Summer Olympics. About an hour from now, he'll take part in the dedication of the new U.S. Embassy. Then he'll attend a lunch hosted by President Hu Jintao. The State Department says China has deported two Americans who were involved in protesting Chinese policy in Tibet, and three U.S. citizens who protested China's one-child policy have been detained and questioned. Iraqi officials are quoted as saying that Baghdad and Washington are nearing agreement that would have all U.S. combat troops out of Iraq by October 2010.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington. U.S. officials downplay any notion that the two sides are closer to an agreement on any pullout date. A White House official warns against any talk of what are described as artificial, arbitrary deadlines. But in a new optimistic tone, the official said the fact that the U.S. and Iraq can discuss conditions-based time horizons is a testament to improved security. Another official who's involved in the talks says many gaps have been narrowed, but they're still not on the verge of closing what will be a complex deal on the future role of the U.S. in Iraq.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Antifreeze. It should really be called anti-stuck by the side of the road. Look, just because your car is running fine today doesn't mean it won't decide to overheat while you're driving home tomorrow because your radiator's decided that it's had enough of that watered-down weak coolant. Well, the guys at Advance know this. That's why they have Advance Auto Parts 50-50 antifreeze on sale for $6.98 a gallon. Offer ends August 30th. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
So who's been taking all those phone calls at 3 a.m. since Hillary exited the presidential race? Anybody know? Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Scott Dick is our official contributor here on the PBC show on military and veterans matters. He served in the Marine Corps and retired from the Army at the rank of Major, and he now hosts the Scott Dick Show on KRXA 540 in Monterey, my flagship radio station, and he's on every night after us. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Peter.
Well, good. There's so much to talk about. You know how it is. I keep little bookmarks on websites, and I print things out, and I clip newspaper columns and put them up in a little pile here, waiting for you to join us on the show. And so I want to talk today about anthrax, about the Susskind book, about John Bolton's claim that attacking Iran would lead to stability in the region, and a lot of other stuff. But I thought I'd start off with the ugly marker on the scoreboard. 500 American service members have now died in Afghanistan since 2002. And to its credit, the New York Times did a photo spread with a picture of just about every one of those soldiers who died. And I think it's an important reminder to people. We were just discussing with Joe Cirincione this kind of eagerness that people like Obama say they're going to pull troops out of Iraq, that when he says we're going to put more into Afghanistan, they just say, well, he's right on the first part, so he must be right on the second part. And I think it's important to offer some critical thinking at this stage before America does what the Soviet Union did. They had 106,000 troops, I think, at the peak in Afghanistan, and they left as a failure, as a failed occupier.
Yeah, that's a tough one. If he means that he would create a sort of U.S. base of operations to get Osama bin Laden, that's different than trying to pacify the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what's our fight with the Taliban? The fight with the Taliban has always been that they've refused to turn Osama bin Laden over to us. And, you know, the regime, the Bush regime, brokered with the Taliban before the attacks on 9/11.
Oh, that's right. We gave them a big check about 4 months before 9/11 for their progress in rolling back exports of opium and heroin.
Right. Plus, the oil companies were active there, and they're trying to get the pipeline made. And so we were actively working with the Taliban. So it's the fight has really never been. And now we've installed this government there, Karzai, who, nothing personally against him, I think he's Harvard-trained, you know, masters of PhDs,
mm-hmm.
but he can't run the country. And it's amazing how far we've taken Afghanistan back. If you've been reading the news, you'll see that there's a young girl who was raped by gunmen. It's a lawless place, and their entire family is threatening suicide unless Karzai does something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just out of control, and by sending more troops there, we could perhaps pacify those immediate areas around the capital of Iraq, as John McCain has said, Kabul. But, you know, I made a little joke there, Peter.
I got it, yeah.
So, you know, and you know, we'll stop the Pakistanis from crossing the border into Iraq. So,
yeah.
You know,
Well, maybe Cindy could, you know, judge a beauty contest there on the Iraq-Pakistan border. You know, burkas to bikinis.
Yeah, you know, and I love that bit, and I know you don't want to go there, but that actually was a wet T-shirt contest that he was pimping his wife out for.
I know. I think that's amazing.
He's quite a guy. People, you know, remember last week, Peter, Eric from Alabama called in, and when I said that John McCain was a mediocre senator, he's falling below mediocre. I forgot to mention that he voted 10 times this entire year, and yet on the stump, that's John McCain, not in the Senate, doing his job, but collecting his money.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the gall to go out and say, when I'm president, I'll order them back into. Of course, he won't be there. He'll be on vacation.
Well, I talked to Faz in Washington last hour, and I couldn't resist. I asked him if there were a bunch of Republican Congress members just up there banging on the door saying, we want to get in and go to work. We don't want a vacation. We want to get in and drill.
And then McCain told another lie today. I saw it on CNN. He said that he lied and said that Barack Obama's mentioning that changing, putting the correct air pressure in your cars.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and Obama said that's as good as drilling in Anwar. Well, actually, it's better, Peter. The estimates from Bush's own administration say that if we drove on properly inflated tires, it would give us 3 to 5%, and Anwar's only going to give us 2%. That's how stupid John McCain is.
Well, but this is a tactic that we're going to see over and over again. Obama used an example that an average American like me could understand, that if I check the inflation on my tires, I'll get better mileage, and that would actually produce more conservation, more savings, than the supply we could get from drilling in Anwar and in the offshore zones that they're talking about opening up.
But let me put this in context for you, Peter, because, and I'm sure you're aware of this, as soon as I say it, he responded to that. He said that as in response to a person's question. Now, he was talking about air and wind and solar and cutting back and alternative fuels. And a person raised their hand and said, but what the hell could we do right now? And he didn't need 20 advisors to come running to him with a piece of paper or talking in his ear. He said, you can make sure your tires are properly inflated and your car is tuned up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it off the cuff. You know, and so McCain, who has to read everything and obviously doesn't listen to his briefers and who said that not, or at least his surrogates, said there wasn't one drop of oil spilled after Katrina and Rita, and that was an outright lie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm frustrated by McCain and the pass he is getting from the traditional media.
Well, I'm with you on that. Now, circling back to Afghanistan for a moment here.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What do you think the, you know, as a military man, if we put the politics aside and the presidential campaign, and I don't want another study group of, you know, senior Washington officials, but I really would like to have an honest discussion and a policy debate about what to do about Afghanistan, because I'm worried that in trying to prop up Karzai, we're going to be putting American soldiers in there to police a civil war, just like the one we're trying to wriggle out of in Iraq. And it's a much tougher country, you know, with a lot of mountains and a lot of places where wily guerrillas can hide themselves for decades. And I just think that we've got to be smart about this and, again, focus on the real target, which is al-Qaeda, not attempting to pacify the entire nation of Afghanistan.
I agree, Peter. The target needs to be Osama bin Laden. So if we have to put temporarily, have to put in a bunch of troops in there to shake all the reeds along every border cliff and creek up into the border with Pakistan and get the Pakis to work with us and maybe squeeze him out and increase, say, the bounty on bin Laden to, say, $500 million, something that will actually attract some attention because it's a lot cheaper to give somebody $500 million than it is to, I mean, give him, you know, you can win a lottery here in the States for $320 million. So it's not an outrageously absurd idea. And then that could be the policy. We're here to get bin Laden. When you give us bin Laden or you bring us his body, we'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, you're going to make $500 million. So, you know, you take the pick. And then, I don't know, the idea that we could turn Afghanistan into something akin to what? Pick a country, Jordan? I don't know. It's more like we're going to turn it into something like Somalia. And you can see what our intervention in Somalia did for us.
Mm-hmm. That was Poppy Bush's gift to Bill Clinton.
And the countries, you know, the continent of Africa.
Right, yeah. All right, well, anything else you want to add on Afghanistan? We can move on to other subjects.
No, the troops there are in a hole. They're in a deep, deep hole. They don't have enough troops. I don't care what people say, what the conservatives say. You know, another brigade, I believe it was a regiment of Marines, got their term extended a month, and they're looking to put 30,000 more troops in Afghanistan to help out there. So we don't have the troops, so I don't know what they're going to do. So we're going to muddle along. As John McCain said, well, we can muddle through in Afghanistan. Of course, you know, he's not in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
and he's not getting shot or blown up, so it's easier for him to say.
Scott, in another matter, close to home there on the Central Coast where the Defense Language Institute is located, the Christian Science Monitor is reporting that the Army is starting to pay retention bonuses of up to $150,000 to Arabic-speaking soldiers. And they're doing this, of course, because they expelled dozens of Arabic translators who happen to be gay during the first few years of this conflict. And $150,000 retention bonus, I mean, that is a lot to pay to try to paper over the failure of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
It's not even Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Peter, that's only a part of it. It is the stupidity of the armed services, and I put the blame directly on the Army staff, the portion of the Army staff that forecasts out the requirements for Army linguists in the future. They have never, Peter, gotten it right. I remember when I was at Defense Language Institute, one of our senior colonels during a big conference came around and says, anybody speak Romanian? Anybody who knows anybody who speaks Romanian? And that year that I was at DLI, 1990-1991, they had the final class of Serbo-Croatian. They had no program at DLI for Serbo-Croatian. Nobody enrolled. And guess what happened a year later?
We needed to send people to Serbia.
So we ran all around and hired linguists and paid them $60,000 or $70,000 civilians and all that stuff. And that's so it's just the stupidity. Well, nothing's going to happen in Yugoslavia. You know, they're the people that govern this are, I want to say, blind, deaf, and dumb.
Well, you would think after the first Gulf War that Arabic would be considered a high priority.
You would think. And so what they did is they tried to get people to volunteer for it, and then they paid them paltry little $50 a month to keep, maybe $150 a month. $150 a month, Peter, to keep your Arabic language skills current. And they sent you to learn, like in German, there's Hochdeutsch, there's High German, and then there's, you know, what everybody speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sent them to learn this pristine textbook Arabic. The problem is in most countries in the world, there's only nobody can even understand them. So they all learn Saudi Arabian Arabic, and then they go to Egypt, and the Egyptians would go, huh? What
I know,
are you trying to say?
I know just a few words in Arabic, and one of them is thusma. And we should give these guys a thusma. It's the word for spanking.
Yeah. A waterboard, imagine.
Oh, we'll talk about waterboarding. It's now available at Coney Island. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with me and Scott Dick, Scott's with us this entire hour. And it's wide open for any subject related to military, veterans issues, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, or the future war in Iran. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to
the patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Not a whole lot going on right now. Chular River Road, near Chular Road, we do have reports of a solo spin out. No details. Looks like CHP is on the way out to that. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checking in, stalling accident free. Highway 68, so far so good. No problems out there. 101, making your way through Salinas, currently a good drive. And at the Fishhook in Santa Cruz, you are just beginning to see some of that heavy traffic build there. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a Fresh Start men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. Now, if you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Lines are open for you. If you have a comment or a question, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And John Bolton is back in the news, at least if you watch the Fox News Channel. I didn't see this reported anywhere else. But Scott, you know, this is a guy who didn't use diplomacy when he was an alleged diplomat, first at the State Department and then over at the United Nations. And in this clip, he's going to tell us that diplomacy is finished with Iran, and we only have two choices. Of course, they're false choices, but that's what Bolton has to say. Let's listen.
Well, I think what the Iranians are doing right now is trying to split the U.S. away from Europe and prevent any more sanctions from being imposed on them. And I think what they're doing is what they've done for 5 years, which is play for time, time to continue to perfect their desire to get nuclear weapons. So I think basically diplomacy is finished.
So if that's the case, then do you believe a military strike on Iran is more likely today or less likely?
I think there are basically two options. One, the last resort would be a targeted military strike against the nuclear program. I think regime change would be preferable because I think that would lead to greater stability in the region as a whole.
Oh, beautiful.
But regime change is not something that happens overnight. So I think we're down to a very unhappy series of choices, remembering that the worst alternative of all is Iran with nuclear weapons.
Now, Scott, let's just take... Stop there, Bolton. Let's take this apart. First of all, this is quite a claim. Regime change would be preferable because I think that would lead to greater stability in the region as a whole. Now, what kind of regime change in Tehran is he talking about that would lead to stability? He's dreaming.
Well, he's ignorant because is he talking about just eliminating President Ahmadinejad, who doesn't even have a control over the military?
Right.
So, or is he talking about killing the senior Iraqi
clerics
leadership?
Yeah, the mullahs.
The mullahs. So this is brainless. This is fake analysis. And remember, Peter, you said you told a little fib. You said Fox News, that's the Fox network he's appearing on.
Yeah.
He's not getting on play I don't think, in any place else because he's such a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Iranians are attempting, his first assertion is Iranians are attempting to split the U.S. from Europe. Peter, we split ourselves from Europe.
That's right.
We had nothing, the Iranians had nothing to do with that split. We did it with Iraq, and guess what? We're continuing to do it with this idiotic rhetoric over Iran. And we've created strong allies between Iraq and Iran where they were never allies before. I mean, the British that occupied that area at the turn of the last century wrote those countries' boundaries for a reason. To split that large Shia bloc into two countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the second part is perfect the desire. How do you perfect the desire for something? You either have a desire for something or, see, he made a sentence. I call this Martian speech. He said a sentence that has language, words in it that you and I understand as English, and when you put them together, it sounds like a sentence, but it's actually nonsense. How do you perfect the desire for nuclear weapons? And that's what he said. It's total nonsense.
Well, in his final statement, which is intended to buttress the false choice that he just laid out, since regime change won't happen overnight, we really have no choice but to launch a military strike against their nuclear facilities because we cannot permit Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now, that imagines that the moment they develop a single weapon, they would use it. Or that in short order they could develop a whole armada of nuclear weapons and become a major regional threat. And it can't happen that way. It takes time, and even if they have an arsenal, using it is a whole different issue because they've got to worry about the effect on them, the response and retaliation, and the general nuclear fallout that would hit the whole region.
It also has the behind that, the idea that the United States has say whom or whom not can have nuclear weapons. It's okay for the Pakistanis to have it. You know, there are no madrasas that I know of in Iran teaching the kind of rhetoric that they teach the madrasas in Pakistan. And yet he hasn't said anything about nuclear weapons in Pakistan or anything about nuclear weapons in India.
It's not in the talking points, dude.
And so he can't get off the talking points, and so we have Iran. And we need to go to the table. We need to come up with a situation where we can talk to the Iranians, let them develop nuclear power plants, the same as McCain wants to put, 40 more in the United States? Why? Because it's a problem, because we don't have enough electricity and it frees up, you know, natural gas and all the same arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You had Dr. Bill Beaman on.
Stand by, Scott Dick. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Save the suburbs. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Across the country, the housing market's in full retreat. Prices dropping. Homes not selling. It's getting crazy. But this isn't just about unaffordable mortgages. This is about unaffordable everything. What we're seeing is a direct attack on the suburban roots of millions of Americans. This is about everything the suburbs stand for. This is a whole lifestyle that's under attack. The suburban lifestyle is based, as you know, on six unshakable concepts. The detached house, the lawn, the barbecue, the extra refrigerator in the garage, at least two cars, and a boat. But now, you can't take care of the lawn because the guy who used to mow it has been deported. The house is in trouble because even though you now have triple pane windows, heating oil is unaffordable, plus the bank wants it back. The barbecue is in trouble because high corn prices are going to force cattle ranchers to boost the price of beef. The refrigerator in the garage, full of bottled water, is the reason the ice cap is melting. You can't have that. The two cars, well, it's cheaper to fill them with single malt scotch at this point. I mean, that's what ethanol is if you would just distill it in the right barrels. And the boat, unless the boat's sitting in the front yard full of petunias, forget it. But perhaps most tragic of all, just as all this is happening, traffic is actually getting better. Even commuters in Los Angeles who used to be able to get through most of the newspaper on the way home now have to pay attention to the road. It's the unkindest cut of all. But just when we no longer need them, the highways open up. Somebody stop it. Now this.
Somewhere in the frozen Montana wilderness, there's a stranger who rescues accident victims. Female accident victims. He saves their lives, heals their injuries, nurtures them back to health, then slowly, mercilessly, leaves them to die.
Left to Die. From New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson comes her most twisted serial killer yet. Left to Die by Lisa Jackson. On sale now.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Song's number one on John Bolton's iPod. He hits shuffle and it just repeats.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Priceless malaprop from George W. Bush. And that's one of John McCain's favorite songs, too. He actually did it a cappella at a public event earlier this year. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And from Big Sur, we're joined by Humook. Hello, Humook.
Hi there. Is this Peter B?
This is. And did I get your name right? I was coached.
That's correct. You got it. Lowercase h. H-U-M-M-U-X. Humook.
Okay, Humook. What's on your mind today?
Well, this bit about the discussion about bombing Iran, I wanted to point out that some recent events have conspired to prevent the bombing of Iran. This can most clearly be garnered from the KPFA Guns and Butter show of Wednesday, July 30th, 1 p.m., when Webster Tarpley clearly lays out the point that the neocons are out. The new crew is the Rockefeller, Trilateral, Soros, Brzezinski gang, and we've seen them before. But they want Iran off the table. They don't want Iraq, or they don't want Israel bombing Iran and making those excuses. So they've stood down Israel, and there will be no Iran invasion.
Okay, well, I'd love that to be the case. I spoke to Scott Ritter earlier this week, and he is still quite concerned and quite convinced that the motive is there, that the methods are in place. And one of the scenarios is that if Obama wins the election in November, that the lame duck White House would then launch an attack to mop this little baby up, because they figure they could rely on McCain to follow through, but they couldn't expect Obama and Democrats to do that.
Well, I understand, and you're at a disadvantage here because you haven't heard this Webster Tarpley piece, which puts things in really clear perspective. Mm-hmm. Obama is part of that axis. He's the left cover coming up to make it easier to swallow the pill. Remember during Clinton, we gutted welfare. Well, Obama has already said no SUVs, no gas, no heat, no food, that kind of stuff in his Oregon. And he's already out being cheered by the world. So he's already in. He won't be killed before. He's already in office, already doing his thing. Bush is doing sixth grade classes, that sort of thing.
Well, now Humook, just to be candid, you kind of come off as if you're in master control.
No, I'm watching what master control is doing. You see,
all right, but what you wait, Humook.
From the Pentagon. That's the key.
All right, but Humook, please, sir, could you take us off your speakerphone because it makes it really hard to have dialogue and it muffles what you're saying?
I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay.
But I will talk. I won't talk so excitedly.
Okay. Now, what you said a moment ago, you had kind of a litany that Obama says no SUVs and no food.
What he is setting us up for is an austerity program in America so they can continue to afford to make weapons and have wars.
Mm-hmm.
The American people cannot be sucked into the problem of the Democrats or the Republicans are the same thing. What they need to do is to find somebody like Cynthia McKinney to vote for, who's a 9/11 candidate, and make your vote count. Make millions of votes for a 9/11 candidate, and you've got something. But you can't choose between McCain and Obama. They're all the establishment.
Mm. Okay. Well, I understand your perspective. I don't share it, but I respect it. And, you know, I do understand that many people will choose not to vote for Obama, particularly in California, where he's currently 24 points up. And, you know, people are free to vote as they wish. I never tell people how to vote. But, honestly,
they've got the machines, and they don't even have to have the machines rigged up for this one. Obama's going to win, no question about it. So you can't waste your vote by voting for the Green Party candidate.
All right, but Humuk, sir, okay. I'm sorry. He's not really in a position or willing to dialogue, and I think we got the gist of his comment.
He's in the rant mode, and you can't, you know, it's tough to deal with somebody who's in the rant mode.
Right, and I do respect the perspective he's offering, but when people lump McCain and Obama together and essentially say there's no difference and they're all part of the same cabal, I'm sorry, that's simply not true. And I am not trying to pretend for a moment that Barack Obama is a progressive who is as liberal as Dennis Kucinich or Cynthia McKinney. But to suggest that he and McCain essentially are captive to the same forces and therefore would be dictated the same scripts, that personally I don't buy. And I haven't heard from Webster Tarpley recently. I have talked with him before, but I haven't heard the theories he's been advancing.
Peter, I want to jump in and just finish off briefly the last bit about Iran. I want to remind you, and I'm sure you're aware of this, is that the Iranians elected Ahmadinejad as part of a democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
There were some shenanigans. They did disqualify some rebels, but we hear the same kind of nonsense here in the United States. I'm not comparing the United States to Iran. You know, save your emails. What I'm concerned about is regime change. He was democratically elected by a majority of voters in Iran. I mean, what is Bolton? Democratic governments in some countries, but not in others. The guy's a nut.
Well, and whenever the Bush administration refers to a government as a regime, it means that they don't consider it to be credible, and therefore it is subject at our whim to being toppled or marginalized in some other way.
Right, right.
And, you know, we've seen this play out time and time again. We encouraged the elections in Palestine and the Gaza Strip, and when Hamas won, we said, well, we didn't mean that.
Yeah, we went the other democratically elected party, not the Hamas people. I know, it's ridiculous, and it's hypocritical, and it's just like Bush going over there and lecturing the Chinese about their human rights abuses. I was embarrassed for our nation and nauseated and disgusted all at the same time by him going over there. He should have gone to the China and kept his mouth shut and just been the blubbering doormat that he is. That's my opinion, Peter.
I would rather he just, you know, ride his bike and cut some branches down in Crawford because, you know, no matter how you slice it, America doesn't look good with Bush representing us at the Olympics. And while he, you know, tried to give this speech in Thailand, which is critical of the Chinese government, and he separated it from the Olympics, and he talked about how we're not going to force democracy on them, but it's just going to happen on the natural. You know, a lot of that is just the dream speak that he's been using as a cover for our very aggressive moves in the Middle East.
And to lecture the Chinese on human rights is just, it's got to be, it's so, first of all, so transparent. Anybody who does not watch the Fox Network and has more than four brain cells, who can generate four.
actor and a guy who wrote a biography of Dick Cheney, Stephen Hayes, went on CNN and made the incredible comment that, Iraq was so damaged before we started shock and awe bombing and the invasion and occupation that actually it was in far worse shape than any damage we did during the war. Let's see if we can play this clip a little bit and hear these remarkable statements.
Hugh, let's discuss this and more. Joining us, our senior political analyst, Gloria Borger, our own Jack Cafferty, and Steve Hayes, the senior writer for the Weekly Standard. They're all part of the best political team on television. Jack, you know, a lot of people hear this and their blood starts to boil.
Well, understandably so. It's much more than the $50 billion. We've spent $700 or $800 billion there on this war. The Iraqis could say, hey, we didn't ask you guys to invade. You came over here, invaded our country, blew up our infrastructure, killed a couple of hundred thousand of our people. Maybe you should pay to fix it. The thing that really gets up my nose is somebody like Carl Levin sitting there expressing this moral outrage. The Democrats in 2006 said, give us the majority in the House and Senate. We will end the war. We will cut off funding for the war. We will bring the troops home. Well, that was a bald-faced lie, and to sit here 2 years later and try to grab the high ground on $50 billion worth of reconstruction costs when you did nothing to end this war 2 years ago after you told us you would, I ain't buying it.
You know, Obama spoke out on this. He was outraged today, Gloria. And the McCain people, they're beginning to respond.
Well, it's going to take a while for Wolf to get to this guy Hayes. But what he said was the state of the Iraqi infrastructure before we went in, before we dropped one bomb, was deplorable. It was far worse than any damage we did during the war. And, Scott, first of all, the debate that's underway, I find bizarre and a little bit obscene. That because Iraq has generated some $70 or $80 billion in oil-related revenues, that we imagine that we don't have any obligation to, enforce the pottery barn rule that that Colin Powell cited.
Well, we have no. This is where I disagree with you, Peter. We have spent so much, and we are in the toilet so far that any justification to get us out of Iraq is good enough by me. And this $76 billion, they've allocated only $30 billion, and they haven't even spent that. So it's time for us to just pass over whatever we can pass over, get our troops out, and take our money, our checkbook, and go, well, it's not even our checkbook. It's a credit card issued to us by the communist Chinese. You know, we hate to deal with the communists. That's why we're boycotting Cuba.
Well,
China's a different story.
Scott, I understand your point. But number one, we don't know what the total assets of the Iraqi government are. And if they're only $78 billion, it's kind of crazy for us to sit here and say that they should pay for all the damage that we caused.
I
want us to get our troops out, and I want to get our presence out of there as soon as possible. But we haven't really effectively reconstructed the country. We haven't repaired the damage that we did. And if we're going to leave and not have American hatred spiral out into terrorism or other kinds of attacks on the United States, I don't think we can just stick Iraqis with the bill and say, oh, we tried, but security was too tough. And, KBR built all these showers that electrocute people. And we're kind of sorry about that. But frankly, we got to go.
Well, Peter, this is a 1 year projected budget surplus. This isn't all the money that they have. And so they've only spent, they're only planned to spend $34 billion of it, and they've only allocated like $4 billion. So they're not doing their job. And so they're going to make more money next year. I mean, unless the price of oil plunges, which it ain't, they're going to make more money. And this is this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
So to get us out, at least to shift some of these costs over to the Iraqis. Now, what Hayes said is a complete fabrication. It's a lie. I'll use the L word. We know just by statistics that, for example, before we attacked a country that did us no harm, they had so many hours, 18 hours or 22 hours of electricity per day. And at the height, when we were producing as much as we could produce, they have like six. So for him to say that is complete crap. And it's a continuing cause to try to whitewash Bush policies to make them more attractive, to make them look successful. And, to create, the second part of that is to create a presidential viable contender out of a third-rate, I said a second-rate last week, third-rate Senator John McCain.
That'll get you a call from Alabama. All right, we're going to take a break and return. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's still room for your call this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're listening on the weekend on KPOJ in Portland or KPTK in Seattle, you can send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Not a whole lot going on right now. Chular River Road, near Chular Road, we do have reports of a solo spin out. No details. Looks like CHP is on the way out to that. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Highway 68, so far so good. No problems out there. 101, making your way through Salinas, currently a good drive. And at the Fishhook in Santa Cruz, you are just beginning to see some of that heavy traffic filled there. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. Now, if you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade wraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart, Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Folks, to know more about today's opportunity in gold, call 888-302-7111 for Lear's Complete Gold Investment Kit. It's free with no obligation. The investment kit will show you how easy gold is to buy and sell, even how to own gold in your IRA or retirement account. And be sure to look for our top recommendations. Call 888-302-7111 now, and you'll also get our latest CD titled Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero But Could Double in Price Again. That's a $29 value, absolutely free. Folks, for 5 years, gold investments have been consistent winners, outperforming stocks by 500%, and experts say this bull market has just begun. Some expect gold to rise over $2,000 an ounce. Remember, in today's uncertain markets, gold is the only investment that has a 5,000-year history and has never been worth zero. Compare that to other alternatives in today's economy. Call 888-302-7111 today. The Gold Investment Kit, our top recommendations, and the CD Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero But Could Double in Price Again. Materials are free, but supplies are limited. Call 888-302-7111 now.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Scott Dick about military and veterans matters.
We'll be the last to die for mercy.
As we continue with Scott Dick, I wanted to get Scott's comments on two of the developments this week. One about the anthrax issue and the anthrax vaccine that was forced on our troops, and also about the revelations of Ron Suskind about the pre-war intelligence and the knowledge that Bush administration officials had. First up on anthrax, Scott, do I remember correctly that you refused the anthrax inoculation?
No, I didn't. I retired before it got to me.
Okay.
That's one of the big. That was one of the big motivators, because I knew if I was on active duty and they brought that needle close to me, I would have refused, and then I would have probably lost my pension.
Yeah. And so as we look back now, we have this investigation where the FBI declares that Bruce Ivins was the sole source of the anthrax that killed 5 and injured 17 shortly after 9/11. And many people are suspicious of this, and there's circumstantial evidence, and they've been able to rule people out other than Ivins, but they really haven't flatly, and now that he committed suicide, they won't have a chance to prove in a court of law. But what are your thoughts about that and how it impacts on the troops who were forced to take that vaccine?
Well, the whole thing was so shoddy. One of the retired admirals, who was a German of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crowe, bought the company after his retirement that provided that vaccine, and woo-hoo, in a few short years, it became a mandatory requirement for certain units to take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of people said, wait, this is not even approved by the FDA. It doesn't matter. It's perfectly safe. And I remember Cohen, the Secretary of Defense at the time, he took this series of 6 shots. You can't take them all at once. You take them over a series. And it was somebody was making money off of it. They had no good data on the side effects. It wasn't even for inhalated, the normal chemical weapons. It was a biological weapon. It's inhalation, anthrax. It was for skin contact. That virus, that vaccine was developed for tanners.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was so shoddy and so idiotic, and there was no oversight. And then, thank goodness, the vaccine lab was decertified. And so then they fought that. And they were trying to come up with all sorts of really creative solutions that would do nothing but hurt the troops that had to take that stupid vaccine. And they kept saying, oh, it's a weapons of mass destruction or a threat. And nobody was buying it. And troops sued. And they were convicted of disobeying a lawful order and all sorts of things as they refused to take the vaccine. And thousands of people did. People suffered side effects. And the government just plunged along with an unapproved, untested vaccine and using soldiers as guinea pigs. What else is new?
And so in October of 2001, shortly after the anthrax attack surfaced, Bush chewed out the FBI director, saying that he should have already proven that Al-Qaeda had done this. And that sends up, warning flares in a couple of different directions, Scott, because it suggests that the president had an idea of who actually did it so that he could falsely blame Al-Qaeda and still get away with it. Because, hey, if they discovered that it was somebody else, then trying to point it at Al-Qaeda would blow up in their faces.
Does it bother you, Peter, like it bothers me that we actually have bio labs developing weapons-grade anthrax?
Yeah.
What for? Can't we blow people up enough as it is with our 5,000-pound bombs and our Abrams tanks? Do we really need to develop weapons-grade anthrax, for God's sakes, and then have mentally unstable scientists handling it on a day-to-day basis? Are these people insane?
I mean, who is this guy? All right, with 2 minutes remaining, let me turn to Ron Suskind's book and this allegation that, number one, Habush told us that Iraq didn't have WMD, and then we tried to get Habush to help us forge a letter linking Iraq to 9/11.
Yeah, we paid him $5 million.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it, and finally came around. I wonder why. Waterboard, $5 million. You pick.
Yeah.
No, it's disgusting, and I just like the FBI, with the death of Ivins, they've declared the case closed. How convenient. So we'll never know if it was really Ivins or not. And so the same thing. I just don't trust the Department of Justice and the functionaries that work for them. They can make up anything. If they're torturing people and rendering people and all that stuff, Peter, they'll lie on paper. I mean, look how easy it is. If you can torture people, putting a lie on paper means nothing to you.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at it as part of a larger pattern, here's an email from Steven Salinas. He says, the evidence suggests the Bush administration lied and manipulated intelligence to justify the invasion of Iraq, and it raises at least one more question. If they're willing and able to lie us into the illegal invasion, might they have been just as willing and able to have something to do with the 9/11 attacks, or at least lie about that? And I raised this question yesterday because a guy I respect sent around an email to a list, raising questions about the FBI's anthrax investigation, but he went out of his way to say, I've never believed those 9/11 conspiracy theories. Well, where do you draw the line? Where is it suddenly that, one set of fabrications sets off alarm bells, and another one you just say, oh, well, I accept the official story, no questions asked?
Well, I don't know, Peter. This is the gang that can't shoot straight. For them to pull off something like 911 and nobody talks up until now just seems so far-fetched. They're so incompetent in so many ways. If they were competent, they would have taken Saddam Hussein out in the middle of the night. We wouldn't have gone into Iraq. I mean, look at this. They've had one folly after another.
I understand those arguments, but that does not explain that the official 9/11 story doesn't hang together. The 9/11 Commission was there to preserve the myth, not to expose the truth, and that's all out there in daylight, but many Americans remain in denial.
That's true.
I got to take a break here, Scott. Thanks for your contributions. We'll talk to you soon.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. Coming up next, your calls and comments welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Get on the line now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Let the games begin. Thousands of athletes and dignitaries from around the world have gathered in Beijing for the Summer Olympics. After years of preparation, the opening ceremony is just 12 hours away.
The spotlight put by the Olympic Games on China will help both the world to understand China better, and maybe for China to understand the world better.
International Olympic Committee President Jacques Rogge. President Bush is in Beijing, his arrival marred when the traveling press was delayed at the airport. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is among them.
Going back on a previous agreement, Chinese authorities at Beijing Airport prevented anyone from getting off the White House press plane for nearly 3 hours. Officials at a higher level worked out an agreement in which all passengers had to go through customs. It appeared to be a sign of Chinese irritation with the U.S., hours after President Bush issued a public rebuke of China's human rights abuses. CBS News was told that even President Bush's luggage off Air Force One was held up for a couple of hours. Mark Noller, CBS News, Beijing.
At Guantanamo Bay, a U.S. military jury has given Osama bin Laden's former driver, Salim Hamdan, a sentence today that could mean he'll be released next January.
The sentence reflects the jury's split verdict, clearing Hamdan of two terrorism conspiracy charges while convicting him on 5 counts of material support for terrorism. Hamdan apologized for the loss of innocent life on 9/11, saying, if anything what I did have caused them pain.
CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews. The sentence for Hamdan is 5.5 years, but deducting the time he's already spent at the Guantanamo Detention Center, he has only 5 months to go. Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick admits he left the country without notifying authorities, violating the terms of his bond. But Kilpatrick told a judge today that he acted to protect jobs, trying to salvage a deal with neighboring Windsor, Canada.
I'm sorry. I did violate the conditions of the bond because I got a phone call that the Windsor City Council, everything was going off the rail and they were going to back off the deal.
The judge was not swayed. He ordered Kilpatrick to jail. The mayor is awaiting trial on perjury and other charges for allegedly lying about an affair with his former chief of staff. His new chief of staff will run things in his absence. It's a sound from the 60s. Walk Right In was a number one hit for the Rooftop Singers. The song was written by Eric Darling, who'd established himself already in folk music when he replaced Pete Seeger as a member of the Weavers in the 1950s. Eric Darling has died in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He was 74. The price of oil rose more than a dollar today to $120 a barrel, and that was one of the reasons the stock market fell. The Dow Industrial's down 222 points. This is CBS News.
Guys, it's time to get tough on ratty underwear and holy socks. The men's store inside JCPenney has everything you need to kick them to the curb. Right now, their entire stock of men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks are on sale. Buy one package, get the second 50% off. Yes, jockey underwear and gold toe socks are the gold standards in comfort and fit. And with these savings, now's your chance to get a fresh start. The men's store is a smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, in a typical utopia, you spend hours frolicking in lush green meadows and splashing around in crystal clear waterfalls. But in an auto insurance utopia, you can compare Progressive rates to those of other top companies all in about 8 minutes, leaving you plenty of time for, well, frolicking. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Falls, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
In some parts of this country, we pay more than 10% of our income in state and local taxes before the IRS takes its cut. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has details of a new study.
Not surprisingly, the biggest local tax burden falls on people in the Northeast, clustered around New York City.
So New Jersey is at the top, 11.8%, New York 11.7%, and Connecticut 11.1%.
Gerald Prantee of the Tax Foundation surveyed the total local tax bills, income tax, sales tax, car taxes, commuter taxes. Others at the top were Maryland, Hawaii, California, and Ohio. The lowest tax burden falls on people in Alaska. Other discount states are Nevada, Wyoming, Florida, and New Hampshire. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
Should airline passengers be allowed to use cell phones in flight? Nearly half the people surveyed by the Transportation Department said no, and people 65 and older were adamant about it. 60% of seniors said they don't want to hear one-sided conversations on a plane. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect sleep number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone, where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Let's dance for a while. Watching the skies, hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
first? Are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man.
Thanks to Alphaville for anthoning us into this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. There's lots to talk about and a couple of lines open if you want to join me. We'll get right to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. First of all, I want to thank Steve in Salinas, the most recent person who stepped up to help us cover our costs for the Democratic National Convention coverage. In less than 3 weeks, we will be there live from Denver starting on the 25th of August. And it costs. We got to pay for the access to the facilities, travel expenses for producer Katrina and me, and it's not in our budget. And I want to thank the many people who've stepped forward already to help us with this, and Steve is just the latest, and I just want to thank him. If you want to help out, go to peterbcollins.com, and there's a link right at the very top that says you can help, and it gives you the ways that you can make a contribution or a donation. And if you don't have web access, I'm just going to give you my post office box, and you're welcome to be just as generous as you're able. And that is the Peter B. Collins Show, Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, and the zip code is 94942. And I don't know if this is exactly the same Stephen Salinas, because there are two in that area. But this email that I referenced just before the top of the hour, I want to expand on just a bit. Because there are many Americans who think that those of us who ask questions about what happened on September 11th and how it happened and who did it and who's responsible are somehow lunatics. And I understand the arguments about the gang that can't shoot straight and how do you pull off a perfect conspiracy where nobody blabs 7 years later? Yeah, that's a serious question and it's a burden to overcome. But it's actually a distraction, too, from what we know. What we know is very simple. That the official narrative, driven by the media and affirmed by the 9/11 Commission, has more holes than Swiss cheese or any other metaphor that you want to use. It simply does not hold up to careful scrutiny. And if you don't believe me, pick up any of the 6 books by David Ray Griffin, where he dispassionately dissects the official narrative and later the work of the 9/11 Commission, shows the contradictions, the inconsistencies, and the areas where they chose not to go. And so in dealing with this, I repeat what I've said many times. I don't know exactly who is responsible, how they did it, and what the nature of that conspiracy was. But I don't believe that an airliner hit the Pentagon. I suspect that Flight 93 was shot down over Pennsylvania by American fighters. And while I'm not one who's so far out there that I say, oh, no jets were slammed into Building 1 or Building 2, I don't believe that those aircraft alone caused those buildings to collapse. And no one has properly explained why Building 7 at the World Trade Center came down. And I'm not embarrassed to raise these questions. I know there are people who think I'm a loon. People have told me that to my face. And I don't give a damn. Because I know lies when I see them, when I smell them. And the official 9/11 story has a lot of lies in it. There's some truthiness in there, too. No doubt about it. And so I think that we do have to keep asking. And these anthrax attacks came so close after 9/11, and we now know that Bush wanted the FBI to falsely blame the anthrax on Al-Qaeda. Now, the FBI version today of Bruce Ivins as the sole source of the anthrax, that doesn't quite hold up either. But we'll give that one a little time. It's fresh. And as people raise questions about the anthrax investigation and what we're being told, some of them cannot go any further back, not even a month back, and say, well, gosh, if Bush was willing to falsely blame the anthrax on Al-Qaeda, if they tried to get Babush, what a name, Bush with a Baha on the front, they wanted to get Babush to certify falsely a non-existent connection between Iraq and 9/11, how can you then say, I have no questions about 9/11 itself? To do so requires denial. And as Dire Straits told us, denial ain't just a river in Africa. It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone. All the lines are taken, but when somebody hangs up, you can dial in at 888-5-PETER-B. And up first, we go to Sacramento. Will's on the line. Thanks for holding, Will.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having the courage to broadcast what you feel is right, whether or not it's popular, whether or not it's a popular viewpoint or not. I don't know if I really had a question I wanted to pose to both Scott and you, and I don't want to take us too far afield from what...
Oh, come on, it's the free speech zone. There is there's no focus, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. The arena of the vice VP pick for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on, and I've read some interesting blogs, such as Matt Stoller on Open Left.
Yeah.
And Kathy G's blog, or G-Spot blog. What do you think about Wesley Clark as a unifying factor?
I think Wesley Clark would be a very interesting choice for Obama. Certainly he strengthens the military, defense, security side. I have a pretty high regard for Wes Clark, and so I would not be opposed to it. One of the calculations that I look at for Obama's political calculus in choosing a vice president is, can this person deliver a state? Because things have been so close in recent elections, and Obama has the potential to win over some swing states like Montana, Colorado, Missouri, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And so I hold my nose when they mention Evan Bayh, because he's one of those Democratic Leadership Council conservative Democrats, and he has a real antipathy for those of us in the progressive wing of the party. I've said this before, that I'm willing to coalesce with Evan Bayh, and I don't believe he's willing to coalesce with me. And so, you know, Wes Clark doesn't, as a military man, he moved around a lot. I think he calls Arkansas his home.
Right.
But Arkansas is not a critical electoral college state. And so that's one of the negatives, and I don't say that as a ding on Wesley Clark personally, but just in terms of his selection as vice president. And so Tim Kaine of Virginia, in many respects, offers a kind of complement to Obama, a governor, not a Washington insider, a swing state that could go Democratic this year, and a guy who's fairly moderate. He's not ultra-conservative as a Democrat, and he's not too liberal, too. And I think he represents that next generation of change that Obama is looking to accentuate.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. Clark seems to represent having great credibility in foreign policy matters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's run for president before, and so he's an experienced
candidate,
former,
yeah,
and so
yeah.
on. And
the one other name that I'm disappointed has dropped off the discussion list is Bill Richardson of New Mexico. He's a Latino. He's endorsed by the NRA, which doesn't float my boat. But he's a guy with international experience. He reflects the diplomacy that Obama says he would accentuate with Iran and other nations. And I just think he's a real qualified guy who can kind of run now as a Washington outsider And New Mexico is a state that went to Bush in 2000, and if I recall, just narrowly went to Kerry in 2004, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, again, Peter, thank you for all that you do. I wish I could listen to you on the radio, but up here in Sacramento, there's no venue, and it's the Internet or nothing.
Well, I'm glad you're listening online, and I really appreciate that.
Okay, take care.
Right.
Thank you.
Now to Dave and Eureka. Welcome, Dave. You're on the PBC show.
Well, Peter, sincerest appreciation from a fellow lunatic. very much appreciate your willingness to go where the truth may lead you. Even if somebody says, no, that's taboo, you don't get to go there, you say, no, that don't apply to the B2B Collins show.
Mm-hmm.
We go where the truth will take us. And that's the only hope, I think, for this country. Nobody wants to believe that our own neocon, duly selected government would be behind this inside job. But you know, I think every time you look at it, buildings don't come down that way because of impact damage or fire damage. They came down like, boom, ah, God bless it. It was explosive demolition. And that's anyway, the subject is taboo, but we go there. And if you take away their little deed, their 911, there would be no invasions in the Middle East. That was, they used that as their excuse to be able to invade Iraq and Afghanistan.
And so how can some people accept the lies, accept the fabrications, the manipulation, understand the way Bush and Cheney intentionally led us into this war, and then they say, well, no, this is the gang that couldn't shoot straight, so, you know, we accept the 9/11 story as delivered.
Take away 9/11 and there'd be no invading our privacy. There'd be no Patriot Act. There would be no switching of the Treasury into the pockets of the same corporate special interests that are profiting so much from 9/11 and all the spinoffs that have happened from it.
Yeah.
There are people.
Yeah, I'm late for a break, Dave.
Thank you for doing it, my man.
All right, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your support. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Ride the wave. Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new problem just coming in for Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 17 after Highway 1. We have a broken down car. Looks like that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. CHP and a tow truck on the way. San Benito County out in Pisces, Highway 25 at La Gloria Road. Motorcycle about 100 feet off the roadway. Emergency crews now on the scene. And the good news, just minor injuries reported there. Tow truck with some cable is on the way. Highway 68 currently checks in stalling accident-free. 101 as you make your way through Salinas. Right now, we have no problems to tell you about. And this is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes into the hour. There's one line open for you, 888-5, Peter B. It's the Free Speed Zone. And it's summertime. No shirt, no shoes? Hey, no problem. Let's go to Big Sur, where Donna is hot, but she's not on fire.
I'm here.
Hello, Donna. How are you today?
Well, so far, so good. You know, your old faithful listener from the flagship days.
Well, I'm glad you're there.
A lot of us are. It's coming in a little late on this remark, but I'm going to say it anyway. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate when you and Scott Dick are on together. It's like the perfect tag team.
Well, thank you. Okay. I really admire him, and you know, he's been doing this with me for several years now, and I think it's an important voice because he knows so much more than I do about the military.
Well, between the two of you, you give us information that we will not get anywhere else, and you know, we all need this. We need to hear this. We need to share this with everybody. It's like it's being hidden on the national media. I don't understand it. I'm not going to try to, you know, guess what it's all about. All I know is that I'm so thankful that you and he are there.
Well, and he's so kind about it because I've ruined his future. He'll never be a paid consultant on CNN.
Well, isn't that the truth? Now, I don't know if I'm not going to get into too much political today because right now I'm so overwhelmed by political and recovering from the trauma of the fire and everything.
All right.
And I don't know if this is okay to stay on the air. If it's not, you know, you can put me off the air and I can, you know, put it out to, I'm not sure who you're.
Oh, just say it.
All right. Well, they're having a Big Sur Fire Relief fundraiser Saturday, August 9th at 6 o'clock in the Monterey Conference Center. And this is for all the people who have lost everything. And it's going to be all sorts of, well, you can't imagine the artwork and everything that's been contributed. It will be a unique opportunity to see and acquire Big Sur art and experience the coming together of the peninsula community.
Well, I'm really glad to know about that. You're the first to tell me, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't know why you would hold back at all, Donna. I think that's excellent, and I encourage people to reach out and help those who lost a lot or lost everything in the fire.
Yeah, it's like, you know, now that the fire's over, everybody says, oh, it's all over. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's not over.
No, no, and especially if you're underinsured or not insured at all.
And your water system has been destroyed,
right.
And your animals are gone. And anyway, I'm so glad you're there, Peter, and we're all still here supporting you, okay?
Love you, Donna. Thanks a lot.
I'm going to send you a small, I don't have much, but I'm going to send you a small contribution for your fund.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your generosity,
right.
Even
and
$5.
If anybody wants to go to it, it's BigSurFireRelief.org.
Okay, got it. BigSurFireRelief.org. Thank
right.
you, Donna. And Jim in San Francisco, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling, about the Cindy Sheehan campaign. We all love Peace Mom. We all really appreciate what a fantastic face she put on the peace movement when
mm-hmm.
she set up her camp there in Crawford.
Right.
Well, tomorrow is the deadline to get her on the ballot, and all of a sudden, she's having a very hard time getting signatures verified. I mean, I've never heard of rates of rejection like around 44%.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Jim, I got an email from Cindy and the campaign today, and in it they acknowledged that many of these people are homeless individuals who signed the petition to put her on the ballot. And if you cannot prove a residence or a registration at a past residence, it is rejected. So that's one component of this, but I don't know enough about it to rule out that Nancy Pelosi's friends in San Francisco may be scrutinizing the Cindy Sheehan petitions much more carefully than they would, the one to rename the sewage plant after George W. Bush.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I can't imagine there are like thousands signing these petitions. And something like, I think, 5,000 have been rejected.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that and I just want to really put out the word, you have a lot of good listeners in San Francisco.
Make it quick.
Get on down there.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
The number is phone 621-5027.
Got to run to a break. Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for cruising home with the Peter B. Collins Show. I don't qualify you for the carpool lane, but we might get you a free evaluation at a mental clinic. We're in the free speech zone taking your calls. I got lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 in digits. That's what the world needs, more Chiba. Or would that be more Chiba? Up next is John in Brookings, Oregon. Thanks for dialing in, John. How are you?
Hey, great, Peter B. Good to hear your voice. I've been off the mainland for a while, and I always enjoy your articulate, analytic mind. It's great.
Well, I do what I can. Thank you.
Hey, you're not a lunatic. There are so many questions about 9/11, but I don't. That's not the purpose of my call.
All right.
And the second part is not a purpose of my call either.
Okay, but I do accept the validation that I'm not a lunatic. I'll take that any day.
Okay, I'm with Donna. You're a great addition to sanity in this country. But I've got three notions that are difficult. But if we could do them, we might clean up this country. And
all right.
I'll just list them and then take your comments because my cell phone is going out of juice here.
Okay, go. Number one,
okay.
Notion number one.
Number one, we need to clean up the 14th Amendment so that corporations are not considered people under the law with many rights and very few responsibilities for the common good.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, somehow overturn the Supreme Court's notion that dollars equal free speech.
Mm.
That is just bullshit.
Careful there.
Pardon me. Did I say something wrong?
Yeah, that could cost me my license, but go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully no right-winger is taping us today, and we'll skate on that.
How about BS?
Yeah, so that's called Buckley versus Vallejo.
There you go. Okay, and the last one, and I think this is just a guiding principle. I'm older than you, and decentralization of a power situation is far better for everybody than centralization. And let me give an example. If we decentralized energy so that we gave tax credit for Pelton wheels with, you know, that dealt with generating power through water, and solar and wind.
Mm-hmm.
Decentralize when possible, centralize only when necessary. It seems that we want to centralize solutions, and centralized solutions are vulnerable to attack. They're vulnerable to the economy. They're vulnerable to many things. But when things are decentralized, we have strength in numbers,
mm-hmm.
and a few can go down, but others remain strong. So I'll leave you with that, Peter. You're a great man, and I appreciate what you do.
All right, John. Well, hang up on your phone, listen on your radio, and I'll respond to your notions here, okay? Thank you very much. So you had three notions that could get you right across the ocean. Number one, I have no argument with. Corporations are not persons, and it is something that we need to correct because we have had a dominance of corporate influence over individuals in this country, and it has reached a peak here in recent years, and that is something we clearly need to address. The Buckley-Valeo decision that equated speech and money is really a sticky wicket, and it's very difficult for me to imagine that short of a constitutional amendment, that we can really correct that. And it is a problem where essentially a wealthy man's speech is delivered by a megaphone or a television network, and a poor man's speech, or woman, is delivered, you know, on a street corner talking to one to three people. And it is a clear imbalance. And under the Roberts corporate Supreme Court, we can expect no change in that. And finally, on decentralization, I would refer you to Bill McKibben, who has written, I think, in an inspiring way, about how individuals and people very close to their own homes and communities have made a difference, starting with organic farming and farmers markets, and that ramps right up to the generation of your own power, and then contributing to the grid in your community. Where I live here just north of San Francisco, our county is working to develop a joint powers authority that would allow us to buy our own electricity from renewable or other benign sources and generate more solar and other forms of energy right here in our county. And those who have a surplus will be able to sell it back to the grid, to the system, so that that would stay local as well. And we would only draw on the external grid at times when we absolutely need it. And as we're, you know, going forward into the future, and you may have heard that at MIT there was recently a major breakthrough in the ability to store solar-generated electricity very cheaply. And I don't know the technology, but it's a new system of batteries that could really offer us major gains in capturing energy from the sun and being able to use it after the sun goes down. So I really appreciate your call from Brookings, John, and I'm glad you're back on the mainland. Not sure where you were.
Trash.com.
We'll take more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone momentarily, but we want to pause to talk to R.J. Schulman, the investigative reporter fired from 13 major daily newspapers. He now publishes at his own website, PTSD1, that's the number one, .blogspot.com. And that's the site of the Post, Times, Sun, Dispatch. R.J., how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than Hamdan because, hey, if I go to court and get convicted, I'll be sentenced to a determinate period of time. And if I get acquitted, I'd actually be able to go home. And, well, we don't know what his sentence is yet, but we know that even if he had been declared innocent of all charges, he wouldn't have been released. Now, that's justice, ain't it?
That's really true. It really is. You know, and it's great to talk to you in what you call the free speech zone, although I call it the expensive speech zone. If you say the wrong thing, you might end up in Guantanamo.
Well, hopefully the FCC can't ship me there, but we'll wait and see. So your lead story today reads, Osama bin Laden's driver found guilty of being Osama bin Laden's driver. Now, that's a crime worth torturing somebody over, don't you think?
I think so. I think there's waterboarding and everything else that goes along with that. No, the corporate media has talked about him being a terrorist, but really what they found him guilty of was being the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they explicitly, this jury of unnamed military members, five men and one woman, did not agree to convict him on a conspiracy charge that would have connected him to 9/11, the bombing of the Cole, and other terrorist actions.
So I think that blows a big hole in the government's case, and we know that these issues of being providing material support were concocted after the fact, after the Military Commissions Act was passed. So this is hardly a matter of justice, and I heard this one Pentagon spinster, a guy, on television last night trying to say, oh, well, the fact that the jury deliberated so long and came back with a split decision shows that they're justice. Well, they didn't describe any of the kangaroo court elements that preceded the deliberation and the split decision.
Well, you're exactly right about that.
Yeah. All right. Now, your next story here is that George W. Bush has a plan for when he leaves office. And, gosh, this is based on Brett Favre's return and then unreturn to the Green Bay Packers?
That's exactly right. After his term is up, Bush is now going to ask the NFL to reinstate him as president.
Of the NFL?
No, president of the United States.
I see. And just how does the NFL achieve that, RJ?
Well, the president has basically said if they can get Favre back to Green Bay and reinstate him there, and Favre only commanded a few guys on steroids, and Bush commanded a whole army, that it's very easy for the NFL to reinstate him. As a matter of fact, Bush says, quote, there's only so much brush around here, meaning Crawford, to mission accomplished, so I'll have to get the commission to fabricate me back to the Oval Office.
Wow, that is an astounding scheme. I was in Wisconsin last weekend, and everybody was talking about Brett Favre. I mean, that was all people cared about. It was amazing to me. And then he came back to this hero's welcome and then didn't show up for his first day of training camp? Is that right?
Yeah, kind of like, not showing up, to be in Washington and being in Crawford when you should be. So I think there's a really good parallel there.
All right. Time for one more here from the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. Bruce Ivins, not only anthrax attacker, but according to you, RJ, he's also going to be blamed for Valerie Plame and the U.S. attorney scandal?
Right. It's going to come out. It hasn't quite come out yet, but we got the scoop on it. Of course, he got blamed for the sending the anthrax around, which killed five people and made a number of others very sick. And the Justice Department is, not saying it's absolutely 100% sure about that. Even though at first they blamed Al-Qaeda and then that other guy, Stephen Hatfield, who sued successfully for false accusations. So they've got that, and now they're going to use Ivins basically to say that he outed Valerie Plame. And he ordered the firing of the district attorneys, among other things. I think they're going to blame him for the bad response to Hurricane Katrina that's coming up next.
And you have a juicy quote from the president. I'm glad we finally caught up with the terrorist killer, although I liked it when we planned at first for Al-Qaeda to be the pet scapegoat who anthraxed those people to death.
Yeah, that was originally, and that has come out, that originally they were going to, blame Al-Qaeda for it. But,
right.
They found...
kind of hard to get that powdered anthrax in a cave in Afghanistan, isn't it? I mean, you can get it...
I don't know, but apparently they now have successfully closed the book on the anthrax investigation, even though I think the main question here that remains unanswered, of course, is how it got sent to Leahy and Daschle,
mm-hmm.
Who were the only two people who could have stopped the Patriot Act.
Right. Yeah, there is a suspicion there, and I think it's interesting that even the corporate media has picked up and is not buying the FBI's case lock, stock, and barrel. And, RJ, as a veteran journalist, what is your take? Do you believe the FBI that Bruce Ivins is the beginning and end of the anthrax case?
I don't think I believe the FBI on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything especially like this. I mean, it's pretty convenient the guy commits suicide. And then after he's dead, they say he's the guy that did it. So right there, you have to be suspicious.
It kind of reminds me of the lone gunman theory with Lee Harvey Oswald. But
they're going to blame for JFK, too. I forgot to mention.
Okay. RJ Shulman, thank you very much.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Take care.
Read all about it at PTSD1.blogspot.com. And up next, back to your phone calls here in the Free Speed Zone, it's Dan in Carmel Valley listening to KRXA. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Peter. I would like to respond to your earlier conversation with Scott Dick.
Okay.
And I thank you for your open mind about, you know, wanting to know what the truth is, what happened on September 11, 2001. There was a caller that mentioned some kind of power shift, and I think that kind of thing that he was talking about is why we need an impeachment, so that there will be some kind of real investigation. And what led, my understanding is that what led to the stand down crowd or rogue element or neocons, whatever you want to call them, being sort of nudged out of direct power, had to do with the B-52 bomber that somehow, quote, accidentally, unquote, got loaded with nuclear missiles.
Yeah, in South Dakota and flew to Barksdale.
Barksdale, okay. So, mm-hmm. And I need to find, I wish I could quote references. I'll have to look into this. But that's the point of my call is I think if we really look at what happened there and what cascaded up the chain of command through the Air Force, it came from lower down people that started to say, hey, what's going on here? And that's actually led to Dick Cheney's wings being clipped. And it'd be very interesting to try to find out what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe that there's a lot that we need to know. And I share your central point that by refusing to impeach, the Democrats have given, you know, implicit authorization to the law-breaking of the Bush administration. And they are complicit in, presenting a cover-up, some of which, you know, may never be revealed, of critical issues which have occurred under this president's watch and that are not trivial, okay? We're not talking about political scores or trying to settle little vendettas about, you know, who's better on what issue. We're talking about really critical matters of our constitutional form of government and the way this administration has bulldozed the balance of powers, the oversight authorities of the Congress, and has just had its way with us. And we really need to push back. And the Democratic Party seems intent on kind of absorbing that, but not really acting on it. And I think that regardless of who gets elected, both at the presidential level and in the House and Senate in November, that we will need to remain aggressive and hard-nosed in pushing for the truth and not accept BS or mollification from people just because they agree with us on other critical issues.
Yes, I'm very with you on that. We need to really pay attention and find out. Keep insisting on the truth and accountability. Where did the accountability go? And when the U.S., you know, is the number one arms dealer, we have a constant situation of, well, how does this country make money? What do we make anymore?
Yeah.
And so everything, even the well-meaning people or Democrats, you know, need to kind of kowtow to that situation. Like my cousin builds F-22s. We used to build domestic airliners, but after 9/11, he had to change jobs because he, you know, it was out. So
mm-hmm.
That's how he's nurturing his family, building F-22s. It's ironic.
Well, tell him to go see Michael Moore's Columbine.
All right.
Dan, thank you very much for your call. And since he mentioned impeachment, next we're going to talk about an effort to impeach Musharraf in Pakistan. Are they setting an example for us? 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join us, there's still room in the home stretch here. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new problem just coming in for Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 17 after Highway 1. We have a broken down car. Looks like that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. CHP and a tow truck on the way. San Benito County out in Pisces, Highway 25 at La Gloria Road. Motorcycle about 100 feet off the roadway. Emergency crews now on the scene. And the good news, just minor injuries reported there. Tow truck with some cable is on the way. Highway 68 currently checks in stall and accident-free. 101 as you make your way through Salinas. us right now. We have no problems to tell you about. And this is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas. For reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Did somebody mention Pervez Musharraf?
Speak of the devil. The devil appears. Waiting for someone. Been waiting for years.
Yes, Pervez Musharraf, the maximum leader of Pakistan, as people would properly pronounce it, is now the subject of a possible impeachment move. And it brings together two rivals for power in Pakistan. And that's Al-Zardari. I think his name is Ali Al-Zardari. Not O-L-L-I-E, but A-L-I is his first name. And he is the man who was married to the late Benazir Bhutto, who was, of course, assassinated last December in Pakistan. And he has joined forces with Sharif, Nawaz Sharif, who was the last elected prime minister, who then was subjected to a coup by General Musharraf, who then gave up his uniform in a deal that allowed him to stay on as president for 5 years. And now in Pakistan, they are talking about impeachment. And consider that simply bringing that up could lead to imprisonment, torture, or even an assassination. Pakistan is that violent a country and that unsettled. And so just juxtapose the courage it takes in a militarized police state like Pakistan to call for the impeachment of your leader. And here, despite the worst fears of the far left, we're not quite a police state. I'm able to speak my mind on the radio, so far, on a daily basis. Denis Kucinich has been able to advocate for impeachment. And while he's been ridiculed and marginalized by Dana Milbank of the Washington Post and many Democratic leaders, he remains free to express these views.
and to challenge the leadership to adhere to our Constitution and its values. And it boggles the mind that our Democratic leaders smugly sit there and say, oh, impeachment, it would be a distraction. It's too late now. And when Pelosi went on The View and said if somebody could show her crimes that Bush has committed, she'd support impeachment. Nancy, I hardly know you when you say things like that. So I'd like you to think about that. I don't imagine that impeachment in Pakistan will go any further than it has here in these United States. But it's nice to see that someone's trying. And finally today, the New York Times lead editorial about the split decision and the conviction of Salim Hamdan, Osama's driver. It reads, now that was a real nail-biter. The court designed by the White House and its congressional enablers to guarantee convictions of high-profile detainees in Guantanamo using evidence obtained by torture and secret evidence as desired has held its first trial and produced a guilty verdict. The rules of justice at Guantanamo are so stacked against defendants that the only surprise that was Hamdan was actually acquitted on the more serious count of conspiring, it was unclear with whom, to kill Americans during the invasion of Afghanistan after September 11th. The charge on which Hamdan was convicted seemed logical since he worked as Bin Laden's driver. But it was still an odd prosecution. Drivers of even the most heinous people are generally not charged with war crimes. I mean, why don't they go after Bush's drivers? That's my comment. At these trials, hearsay and secret documents are admissible. Hamdan's defense was actually required to begin its case in a secret session. The witness was a camp psychologist, presumably called to back Hamdan's account of being abused by his interrogators. Well, you can read the rest online, or if you get the paper, check it out. But it's a strong statement. It's something worth noting. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast with any part of our program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is in Beijing for the start of the Summer Games. It's Friday morning there, and his first stop was a dedication ceremony at the new U.S. Embassy.
No doubt this is an impressive complex. To me, it speaks of the importance of our relations with China.
Those relations have been strained, with the president criticizing China's human rights record and its lack of political and religious freedom. When a plane load of White House reporters arrived in Beijing, they had to sit for 3 hours before Chinese officials let them get off. And at least two Americans have been deported from the country after taking part in protests against China's Tibet policy. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports the big show is just 11 hours away.
It should be a spectacular opening ceremony, lots of pomp and tradition. There will be dancers and musicians, even some people seemingly flying through the air. China's President Hu Jintao will officially open the Beijing Games. The biggest question remains, who will get the honor of lighting the Olympic flame inside the stadium? Steve Futterman, CBS News, Beijing.
Osama bin Laden's former driver, Salim Hamdan, was sentenced today. ACLU lawyer Ben Wisner was in the Guantanamo Bay courtroom.
Well, it was an extraordinary day. A jury handed a massive rebuke to the Bush administration for overreaching in military tribunals here.
The military jury that convicted Hamdan of supporting terrorism but not of conspiring in the 9/11 attacks sentenced Hamdan to 5.5 years in prison. With time already served, he could be out in 5 months. Hamdan thanked the panel and offered an apology. The White House is disputing a report out of Baghdad that U.S. and Iraqi negotiators are close to agreement on a timetable for the withdrawal of American troops. CBS News military consultant Mike Lyons has his doubts.
The military would not want to sign off on parameters that said we'd have to leave by a certain date, in this particular case, October of 2010. They would like to just leave that blank and would let the situation on the ground dictate when a large number of forces left the country.
The Bush administration says it's discussing conditions-based time horizons and aspirational goals with Iraq's